Brother John Reynolds is a dear, precious friend, and John is one of these men who's been fortunate enough and blessed of God in a special way where he's been around great men and seen God do great things. For many years, an associate fellow laborer with Dr. Curtis Hudson and at the Soul of the Lord and working at the Highland Park Baptist Church and the legacy of Lee Robertson and all these things. And he and I share a common burden, and that is for God to do something in our generation and before we leave this world to see real Holy Spirit, heaven-sent revival. We're praying to that end. And I know you're praying the same way. And I wanted him to be the very first person to speak to our church in this meeting because I know he carries a burden for this in his heart. And we love and appreciate that, don't we? I want you to know personally that he's been a tremendous friend and a great encourager to me. Always. Anything in the world he can do to help me and encourage me. And every once in a while, you get yourself in a knothole somebody needs to be used of God to pull you through. And God has used the man. And I appreciate it with all of my heart. I appreciate it. He's going to come and preach to us. Josh is going to sing, and you pray for it, please.
Jesus, than silver or gold, I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be than anything this world affords today.
Well, amen. George Beauchamp did good on that one, didn't he? I mean, he wrote that one. Scott did good singing it, too. Well, I'm delighted to be here today, and I'm delighted to see you here. I'm not like that preacher that went somewhere to preach, and he got on the platform, and he sat beside the pastor, and he looked at it. There wasn't hardly anybody there. He felt kind of highly of himself, and he was a little offended there weren't too many people there. He looked over at the pastor, and he said, "You tell him I was going to be here?" He said, "No, but I'll find out who did." Well, it's a delight and an honor to be here and to be here in this place and in this conference and to be here in this session at 9:30 this morning. Thank you for coming, and I appreciate the invitation, and I appreciate your pastor, his burden, the burden of this church. And I appreciate it when a church comes under the burden with their pastor and bears that burden along that God lays on his heart. And you, dear people, do that, and you're to be commended for that. And I think without a doubt, God will bless you for that. I feel a great responsibility in this hour. I'm going to ask you to open your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 15. I think all of us probably have things in our past that we have difficulty getting over. Sometimes it's an experience. Sometimes it's something that has been done to us. Sometimes it may even been from a parent who treated us in a wrong way, or maybe another relative, or maybe someone that we did not know, or maybe we were in a situation, and it seems like every time we want to move forward to God, for God, the devil brings that before us and tells us we're no good and we're not worthy. And sometimes the devil has an element of truth in what he says, but it's never the whole truth. The fact of it is, none of us are worthy. We don't want God to be fair. We want mercy. It used to be some kind of a stupid game they did. It was a contest, and whenever people get into formulating contests, they get all kinds of dumb things. But what they did was they put a jacket on a person and a very tight, heavy material, and they had a Snapple in the back, a place where you put a Snapple hook. They had a loop in the back, and they would put a bungee cord. They'd snap a bungee cord to that thing, and they put the other end of a bungee cord, a rather long bungee cord, attach it to something permanent like a wall, and the person would get there, and that bungee cord was attached to that wall. The other end of it was attached to their back, and the idea was for them to run as far as they could run, and who could stretch the bungee cord the furthest was going to be the one that won. Some of them would go out very gently and start, and then just start working at that. Others would run and just take that thing as far as they could go with it. Now, of course, you know what happened when they got as far as it would go. They'd get out there. And that was the purpose of the contest, so everybody could laugh at you. Because you'd get to the end of that thing, and the stretch and the tension on that bungee cord would just, boom, drag you right back and fling you right back to where you started from. I think some of us are like that in our Christian life. We try to move forward and we get going and we try to go as far as we can, and all of a sudden we're attached to something in the past. And it just pulls us back. And it's like we have to start all over again. A few years ago now, whenever our church was brand new, there was a little group of young people at the church, and I happened to be there in the little room we had, the little building we had at that time. And one of the young people came and said, "Preacher, this fellow out here wants to see you." And I walked out to the door, and there was a fellow there, obviously a homeless guy. And he said to me, "Do you know a fellow named Ken Babcock?" I said, "Yes, I do. I know Brother Babcock. He's a friend of mine." Now, this was an old Nazarene preacher that had gotten straightened out on a few things and became a Baptist and then became an independent Baptist in our church. What a delightful old man he was, spoke I don't know how many different languages, had served on different mission fields, and he was just a delight and a blessing to my heart. He had been bounced on the knee of Uncle Bud Robinson whenever he was a little child. Uncle Bud had held him and been in his home and all of those things. He said, "I'm going to tell you about Kim Babcock." He said, "I'm his son." He said, "Kim Babcock is not what he appears to be." I said, "Oh, really?" He said, "No, he isn't." He said, "When I was 12 years old, my daddy gave me a beating. I said, "What's your name?" He said, "My name's Daryl. Daryl Babcock." I said, "Well, Daryl, you probably deserved it, didn't you?" He said, "I may have deserved something, but I didn't deserve what he did to me." I said, "Daryl, how old are you?" He said, "I'm 55 years old." Now, he's traveling on a bicycle. He has everything he has in plastic bags, grocery bags, hanging on the handlebars and hanging off that bicycle. I said, "Daryl, you're 55 years old. Don't you think it's time you get over that?" But somehow, it's hard to get over certain things. There may be some good things. Sometimes in our lives, there's someone in the past that has been a blessing to us, and they got out of fellowship with God, fell into sin, and things went wrong in their life, and that just bothers us so much we can't get away from it. And whenever we start moving forward for God, the devil says, "Well, if they messed up, what makes you think you're going to do well? What makes you think you're going to move forward?" You know, there's some preachers who stay one church behind. They move from a church and go to another church. Whenever they get to the next church, that last church I was in, they were good people. These people right now give me the devil. But those people in that church I was in before, but whenever he was there, they were giving him the devil. And some churches stay one preacher behind. You know, old brother so-and-so, whenever he was there, man, I'm telling you what, right now, he didn't do things the way they wanted them done, and they didn't go the way, they didn't think he had it together, and they didn't like the program he had and everything like that, and so they get rid of him and they call somebody else in. Whenever they call somebody else in, they start remembering old brother so-and-so. You know, he just loved us so much, and he was so faithful and visiting and everything like that, you know. Now, the way to be the best preacher is to be the former preacher. And somehow Christians are like that. They get into one place and they leave one place, they move to another place in their lives or even physically, and they think, "This will be the answer. This will be the thing I need." And then they get to that new place and they can't get away from the former place. Hey, we're like that sometimes even in our, and I use this in quotes, our movement. Sometimes we look to the past. And we think about the past, and we think about the great men of the past, and what are we going to do now? If we just had it back like that. If we just had them back here. If we just had the kind of leadership that was here before. And we'll even call certain names. Everything would be good in the independent Baptist movement. If we just had those back and had those on the scene. We just don't have that anymore. Listen, We've got to move forward. We can't live on the past. You've got to cut loose. It doesn't mean we don't respect them. It doesn't mean we do not have good memories. It does not mean that we have anything wrong in that at all. It's just simply we can't still be attached to the past. We've got to move forward to something. Now, whenever we come to this passage of Scripture, we come to the life of Samuel. And if you know your book, you know the story of what has happened. God has spoken to Samuel. He said, tell Saul, go deal with the Amalekites. Saul went deal with the Amalekites, but he didn't deal with it entirely the way God said deal with him. He brought the king back. He brought the best of the sheep and the oxen to bring back. And whenever Samuel came down to Gilgal and met him there, and Saul came out and said, I have done all that God hath commanded me to do. And Samuel said, then what meaneth this bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen? Oh, he said, I knew that God would be pleased if we brought these wonderful animals back, that we can make sacrifice. And that great statement Samuel made to him, to obey is better than sacrifice. Now, you know what sacrifice was? Sacrifice was worship. That's how they worshiped God, by sacrifice. Be careful about people who want to worship God in disobedience to the Word of God. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Samuel said to Saul, God's through with you. You'll not have a son to sit on the throne. Your line is finished. This is it. This is it. Saul said, don't let the people see you turn from me. Stay here with me. Walk out and sacrifice with me and make it look like everything's okay. Samuel said, I'm not going to do that. And he turned to leave, and Saul grabbed his garment, and the garment tore. And Samuel turned back and said, even so has God rent the kingdom from you. And in verse 34 of 1 Samuel 15, then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. No chapter division here. The Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn over Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? First of all, I want you to see there was the sorrow of separation. You see, Samuel remembered how Saul started. Oh, he remembered back in this chapter, whenever he's reviewing Saul's life for him, he said in verse 17, he said, whenever God put you on the throne and you were anointed to be king over God's people, you were small in your own sight. But you've gotten a big head now. And because of that, you think you know what God wants better than what God says he wants. And because of that, God has rejected you. But Samuel remembered how he started. Oh, he remembered how he came to him when he was in the city worshiping and in the place, and Saul came to find the man of God, and he came to Samuel, and God said to Samuel, that's the one right there. Now, you've grieved because the people have rejected you, but they haven't rejected you. They've asked for a king. They haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. But this is the one I'm going to give them right here. And he anointed Saul. He anointed Saul to be the king. And after that, together they worked. to take the kingdom together as a whole. Until that time, what you had was you had 12 little tribes that were out here doing their own thing, one going this way, one going the other way, one fighting this battle, this fight, and sometimes they'd invite a brother over to fight with them and everything like that. But there was no unity within the tribes. And now Samuel sees what he had prayed for and what he had desired. He saw them come together. He watched as they came together, and Saul worked with him, and Samuel was the spiritual leader, and Saul was the political leader, and what had been 12 individual tribes now come together as a union, as the children of Israel, and they work together, and Samuel is excited about what God is doing, and he's thrilled, though they have rejected him in that position. He sees what God is doing, and he's excited about that. He recognized not only Saul's start, but he recognized his successes. It had been a wonderful traveling together with the two of them. Saul had become like a son to Samuel. I mean, they had been together in good times, in bad times, in hard times, in rejoicing times. They had gone through this together. They had enjoyed it. They had enjoyed that wonderful friendship and relationship. But whenever it came to this time right here, Samuel had to reprove Saul. And he did it without hesitation. He was not comfortable about it. Even whenever God told him that he rose up early in the morning to meet Saul in the morning in verse 12 and 11, down through there, the word of the Lord came unto Samuel saying in verse 10 and verse 11, "It repenteth me that I've set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me." This was before they ever encountered each other down at Gilgal. God told Samuel what had taken place. "He hath not performed my commandments," God said. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Now I want you to know this was someone that Samuel had grown to love. This is someone that Samuel had been brought close to and worked together with. And they had seen the advancement of the nation of Israel. And now God is saying, "I'm through with him. I'm through with him." Now you know that Saul continued in the position for many years. But he did not have the power of God. He had the place of authority, but he didn't have the power of God upon his life. He was still in the position, but he had been rejected by God. Now, whenever he meets him there, he confronts him, he talks to him, and the story we've gone through a little bit. And then we come to this time where Samuel says, "I'm not going to see you anymore. Not going to see you anymore." He goes up to his house. Saul goes up to his house. And you have the season of sadness. Not only the sorrow of separation, but there was a season of sadness. There was a time of grieving, I'm sure, on Saul's part, and I'm sure bitterness grew in his life, and he reacted in a different way than Samuel did. Samuel simply mourned. Samuel cried. Samuel had done what God said do every step along the way. He had anointed Saul to be king. He had worked with Saul. He had given advice. He had interceded for Saul. He had been the spiritual leader of the people. And he had encouraged Saul in the political and military leadership of the people. He had done what God said do. But now God has moved on, and Samuel is still in the same place. That ever happened to you? God moves on, but you're still in the same place. And Samuel's depressed. He's disappointed. He's discouraged. And he could not move forward because he was still bound to Saul. Now, dearly beloved, You've got to be careful about holding on to something in your life. Now, I'm talking about something good. I'm not talking about bad things particularly. I'm talking about good things. You got to be careful about holding on to those things whenever God is through with them. He wants to take you to a different level. He wants to take you forward in your life. And you're still bound and keep being pulled back to that thing in your past that you're trying to hold on to. And then whenever we come to chapter 16, God brings to Samuel the summons to surrender. And he says, how long are you going to mourn over Saul? Now, what was Samuel doing? He was obviously sorrowing before the Lord, and he was praying before the Lord, not with victory, not with the hallelujah blessing of God, but he's saying, oh God, make it like it used to be. Put it back the way it used to be. Oh God, couldn't you just bring Saul back and make it work again? It was so good whenever we were working together, and it was so good whenever you were blessing, and it was so good when Israel was experiencing the victory over the enemies. God, couldn't you just put it back together? Wouldn't you just reestablish him? Oh Lord, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? I don't know what's going to go. I don't know where to go. How long are you going to mourn over Saul? Seeing I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Saul had failed. God rejected him. Samuel's disappointed. And God wants to draw Samuel back to himself. Do you see this? That Samuel is more attached to Saul in this situation than he is to God. Be careful about things. Be careful about good things. Be careful about good times. Be careful about good memories, that you do not become more attached to them and bound to them than you are to God himself. You say, well, God used that though, and that was true. But whenever God moves on, it's time for you to move on. You see, Samuel's joy was dependent upon Saul. Samuel's progress for God was dependent upon Saul. And whenever God said, I'm through with Saul, that's over. That's past. That chapter is closed in my book. Samuel still wants to live there. His focus was on Saul. He mourned over Saul. From the night before he went to see him, his heart was grieved, and he cries and prays all night long, and he does what God says do, and he gives the judgment of God to Saul. But he goes up to his house, and he's not saying, okay, Lord, what do you want now? I've done that. Now we need to go forward, Lord. I just need your leadership. I need your guidance, Lord. And I know you have something good in the future. I need to know what it is. Show me what it is, Lord. I'm ready to go for you. No, what he does is he goes up and he sits in his house. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say how long that took place. But he had a responsibility to God's people. And they come up to judge him, for judgment to him. And they come up for instruction. And they come up to receive God's word from him. And in his mind, he gives them whatever. But he's sitting there down in the mouth and depressed and all this kind of stuff, because he's still tied to Saul. God says, how long are you going to do that? How long will you mourn over Saul? God says, God gave him a space. God gave him a space of sorrow. God gave him a time to grieve. And then he said, that's enough of that. Get over it. You need to adapt to the new situation I'm bringing into your life. You see, God could have said to him, Samuel, if you only knew, I got a little shepherd boy about 16 miles south down in Bethlehem. He's out in the field tending sheep. He don't look like much. He's just a kid. He's the youngest in his father's house. But Samuel, if only you knew, he's a giant killer. Oh, he is going to ascend to the throne of Israel. And he is going to take the borders of Israel and expand them to the furthest reaches that they'll ever know until the coming of Messiah, when he comes and sits on the throne and rules and reigns from Jerusalem. Oh, Samuel, if you only knew what David would do, you would get over Saul. And if you only knew what God has for you in the future, if you will just cut the ties, and if you will just get loose in your life from what God is already through with, you do not have any idea what David will be in your life if you will just quit mourning over Saul. You're never going to find David till you get over Saul. And whenever you find David, he may not look like much. He may not be tall and handsome like Saul was whenever you found him. He may not be on the outside what Saul looked like. But God knew within the heart of that little shepherd boy was a little fellow who laid out with his sheep on the hillsides at night and looked up in the sky and said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth his handiwork. And God knew his heart, and he knew what was on the inside, and he knew what he was going to do with David. And you can't see that on the outside. But if you would just get over that thing in your past, God could lead you forward to that thing he has for you in your future. You say, well, preacher, how do you know he has something for me in my future? Because you're still here. If he didn't have anything for you in your future, he'd take you on home to glory. But he has something for you, and something to do with you, and something to accomplish through you. Don't give up. Don't live in the doldrums and say, well, the good days are all gone. It's all past. You know, oh, if we could just put it back like it was. Oh, if we could just get it back to those days. Oh, if we could just get back to the 40s. Some of you never heard of the 40s. You heard of the 70s maybe. Oh, the 80s, you know, you heard of that. But if we could just get it back to the 50s, you know. Every generation is holding on to the previous generation, it seems like, rather than looking forward to what God wants to do in the future. In this conference, this week, this time, may you somehow get over the past. I'm not talking about discrediting it. I'm not talking about looking badly on it. I'm not talking about rejecting it. I'm just simply saying, look to the future. It's obvious that God's not going to put that back. Sometimes you say, oh, if we just had so-and-so back to preach in these conferences. So-and-so's not coming back to preach in these conferences. That time's through. It doesn't mean they were wrong, not because they were sinful, but God simply moved on from that. They're on in heaven. It's time to move forward. Learn from the past, glory in the past, sure, but get loose from it and find what God has for you in the future. Now, very quickly, I want you to see the spiritual secret of how to move forward, and right here it is. Here's here's what God tells him to do. You get over Saul and stop your mourning for Saul, and then this is what you do. Fill thine horn with oil and go. You know as well as I. The Holy Spirit is represented here by the filling of the horn with oil. The oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. This is what we must have. We must have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Not to sit around and talk about, ooh, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Ooh, I feel good. No, you're filled with the Holy Spirit to go. To go. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and go. Go forward. Go the direction God has for you to do. Go follow His leadership. God didn't say to him, I want you to go to the house of Jesse right here. But He led him to Bethlehem. He led him to the house of Jesse. He did not tell him ahead of time which son it would be. He brought all the sons by. He said, don't you have another one? He said, yeah, I got another kid. He's doing that job nobody else wants to do. He's out there tending for sheep. He said, bring him in. Bring him in. He didn't even get cleaned up. He just brought him in. And ever he came in, God said, that's the one. Samuel said, oh no, not him. Go. Go. And experience what God has for you in your future. How long are you going to mourn over Saul? You'll never find David in your life until you quit mourning for Saul. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I wonder this morning, how many of you here said, preacher, I know there's some things I just need to turn loose off in my past and move forward for God. Anybody like that? Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. There's some things I need to get loose from in my past and move forward for God. Well, why don't you just do that right now? Just get out the spiritual scissors and cut the bungee cord and go for God.